We may never know, Uther. I intend to live forever.
How dare you show your face here?
Faces.
Don't laugh at that, you idiot!
A lot of story there, a lot of lore. For those of you who are into that kind of thing, I love you.
Welcome to Live, Laugh, Lore, the podcast that explores where we've been and where we may go next in the world of Warcraft.
Welcome, everyone, to Live, Laugh, Lore, episode 98, the show that enjoys discovering bite-sized lore bits. We're going with it. Bite-sized. Yeah. They're mini. It's mini and cute. Each episode, we'll check in, have some laughs, and talk all about the lore of Warcraft one or two topics at a time. My name is Allie, the one that respects those who enjoy pickles. And I'm joined by the one that now gets Instagram reels for me involving pickles, because why not? It's Jin.
Yeah. I got a pickle cupcake, which I've had, but by the way, I've had a
you
pickle
have.
Cup.
I remember this.
Yeah, it was okay. That's the best that I can give you. I don't usually think dill pickle and sweet has to go together. Like it just didn't work too well. And honestly, the cupcake tasted more like a cornbread muffin than an actual cupcake. So there is that. But but that pickle margarita you sent me sounded pretty good.
I just figured it's stated now. I may not like pickles, but I respect those who do. So we put the whole matter to bed and move on.
The hatchet has been burnt since we burned it, remember?
Sure. Yep. When are we burning hatches? What?
It was in the notes last episode where it's like we like to bury the hatchet,
true. Yeah,
but
we
I
did.
Said burning the hatchet.
That's true. I've slept since then, dude. Come on. you know me. Of course I didn't remember that.
So sad. So sad. I thought it was a good joke. Good callback, too. Look at that.
It was, but you, again, slept since then.
Why are you fixing my name? I saw that.
You saw nothing. Hey, Ginny, what have you been up to?
Well, I, over here, Ginny, played some D&D this past weekend. It was a lot of fun. I actually hooked up with a bunch of coworkers and got together and played some old D&D in-person style. It was great. Really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
I got to play my character that is Battlemaster, fighter, crazy, like I archer. So it's a good time.
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
It's fun. I definitely enjoy it. I min-maxed the crap out of it so that I'm able to... They're only level 7, have a +9 to hit, and okay. I frequently do about 33 to 34 damage every single time I hit.
Shit!
And I don't have magical weapons or anything. It's just a lot of damage.
That's just your natural power. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's impressive.
It is impressive. With two attacks, action surge, and all that, you could do a lot of damage in one turn. As long as you hit. And since it is a battle master, I also can use my superiority die to increase my odds of hitting too with the precision strike.
Right? Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fun little character I've been playing.
Nice. But yeah. Awesome.
But speaking of fun little characters, I see this very interesting note on the notes here. Oh. Allie, what have you been doing and what kind of guest do you have?
There's a lot of life that's happened in this household in the last week between various work things and adulting, and we're not going to get into and life stuff and whatnot. But one of the things I will share is a few months ago, we had problems with mice, and we caught one and we were able to use peppermint oil to kind of drive away the rest and that kind of thing. But, it's just never a good situation. And especially around here, I mean, you've seen where I live, like it's a lot of like nature surrounding areas. So it's pretty typical for people to have mouse problems and that kind of thing. Well, we had Terminex come out and like inspect everything just to make sure if there's anything else we need to do, that kind of thing. And apparently we didn't just have a mouse. We had a rat that decided to actually nest up in the insulation in our attic. So, like, you've seen, like, the houses, right? Like, I've got two little, like, triangles, right, places, right? Like, they're both little attic spaces. And they're not even, like, the cool attic, like, storage spaces. It's literally just pink, foamy insulation crap in there, right? Cotton candy is not cotton candy stuff.
Yeah, don't eat it. It's fiberglass.
Don't eat it. It's bad. It's bad. But, yeah, so apparently in the upper one, actually, in my husband's office up there, we had a rat that actually nested up there as my light tries to fall off my monitor. And, okay, we're good. And, yeah, like, there was evidence of, like, poop and everything. And he's like, yeah, and considering it's where a lot of the air comes from for, like, circulating around the house, rat poop and urine and all that jazz, probably won't get that taken care of. So now we get to pay money that we weren't expecting to have to pay right now to get all that insulation removed, brand new insulation put in. And then, like, they went around the outside of the house and found, like, all the itty bitty little holes and ways they can get inside the house. Cause there was a while, like, we heard a rodent, like, I could be up here working and we hear rodent, like, in the walls chewing and gnawing and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm bad. Pretty sure if my wife heard that, the house would be burnt down at this point.
Like, and it's just, it's maddening. Like, I literally went down to the basement one time and just yelled at the thing. And it stopped. I came back up to my office and it was silent for 5 minutes. It was beautiful. And then started again. I'm like, F. oh, but it's been a lot. So now we get to pay for all that. And, that's fun. And then they'll seal up the holes on the outside of the house. So that's cool. You know, just the fun adulting things. We get to drop like $5,000-something that we weren't ready to drop. And it gets to be done the day after my birthday. So again, instead of me having fun for my birthday and doing fun things and spending money for my birthday, we're adulting a lot.
Mm.
Yay. Yay. Just to add to everything. So yeah, so now our place is home to a rat currently. And our dogs have done nothing, apparently, to dissuade rodents, which is crazy. And and better news, we got AOTC for some more guildies, which is awesome.
Oh, that's good.
And some achievements. And I am just about done playing Black Flag. And that's it for me.
So you are, in fact, almost ready to move over to Cyberpunk is what I'm hearing.
Almost. Okay. I'm at 90. Technically, Berserker, don't listen. Technically, I'm done with the game. Technically. Is it 94% and not 100%?
Okay. All right. You're one of those.
With certain games. Like, I'm a completionist no matter what, but I've gotten to a point where, like, I also know time is limited for gaming for adults, right? So I'm busy dealing with rats and stuff. I don't have all this time to game. And so I pick and choose which game I'm fully completionist with, and this just happens to be one of them. So I'm technically done.
Okay. Well, technically
but
done.
But not really.
Okay. Sounds good.
Got a couple, I'm almost there. I guess a couple of little things to do, but yeah, that's about it for me. And I feel like I've been rambling for a while. So I feel like we should just move on to Patreon things and whatnots.
I suppose I could do that because that is my job. So
It is your job.
It is my job this week. So, hey, hi, hello. Do you like discovering good lore conversations? Do you enjoy listening to two friends have silly lore conversations filled with fun and shenanigans? Does it help you get through your adulting responsibilities and bring joy to your day? Please stay tuned to the end of the show to find out how you can support the show, help others discover it, and keep the joy flowing.
What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about?
Hey, we're talking about discovery stuff. If you didn't catch, like, on my little hints and drops of discovery stuff.
The hints and the things and the... Yep.
Yeah.
And the stuff.
So Season Discovery has been out for a while now, and the community seems to be really honestly rather enjoying it, which is awesome to see. I have not had a chance to play it for obvious reasons. Jen, have you?
I have not touched anything in Classic since literally the day Classic came out.
Right. I tried for a while. It just, again...
Tried for a day.
When we're doing podcasting on top of, like, the live game, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm. It is a lot. Yeah. It's a lot of time, a lot of commitment that I don't want to do. Just, I don't.
Yeah, that's fair. But at least with Season of Discovery, it has given Blizzard a chance to have some fun with the game mechanics, explore some fun concepts, that kind of thing. But what I wasn't expecting is that it also comes with some story bits. And some articles and conversations have been popping up here and there about new lore being introduced through Season of Discovery. So I thought we'd take a little bit of time during this kind of lull here to explore this, since neither of us actually get a chance to play it ourselves. Now, I do want to start with some clarification that came out back in December about the story bits in Season of Discovery, because people were questioning if it's an alternate timeline, there's going to be retcons, or even just going if it's going to be canon or not, kind of like Hearthstone, like, is it canon, is it not, that whole thing. There were various articles that came out about it, so I started digging around into the sources of these articles, and lo and behold, the info came thanks to friend of the show Manny from For Azeroth.
Oh, thanks, Manny. Appreciate that.
Right? I was like, hey, I know him. I know him. I'm so excited.
He's been on the show before.
Right? So Manny is on the WoW Community Council, and he actually asked a great question for one of the Community Council chats, which is why the community has this answer now, so which is awesome. So great job, Manny. You're magnificently magical and Manny.
In marvelous. This chat, you marvelous.
Marvelous. There you go. That is one of my roles, yeah. So in this chat, Manny asked, previously, there was talk about picking up storylines that might lead to dead ends. Will the story of Season of Discovery explore alternative storylines from other titles in the Warcraft franchise similar to Hearthstone? Jin, do you want to read the Blue Post's response to this question?
I don't mind if I do. So their response is, early on in Season of Discovery development, we met with Chris Metzen to talk about the narrative in the season. In that meeting, we mutually agreed not to treat Season of Discovery as any sort of alternate history for World of Warcraft. The term that Chris used to describe our narrative approach to Season of Discovery is, in Chris's words, bone photographs. This basically means that you're finding little bits of information about characters or locations that fleshes out a bit more of fixtures that are part of the living world of Azeroth, but doesn't change characterizations, motivations, or reframe any storyline in a major way. The way I've described this to people is this. Say you're going through family photos and you find a picture of your parents when they were very young on vacation in Italy. You realize that you never knew they traveled in their youth. Does knowing this now change your relationship with your parents or how you view them as people? Probably not, but it's just a fun detail to know that you didn't before. That's what we tried to do when touching any established lore characters or storylines. Simply create a situation where you could learn about some adventures that these established characters were part of that maybe didn't bubble up in the novel or in-game story previously. Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
I love that. It does. Like, how are we feeling about them exploring lore through Season of Discovery in this manner?
I honestly think it's a really great idea, especially because this is honestly the very first thing that they've ever done that made me go, should I play Season of Discovery? Maybe I should play Season of Discovery, because before this, I was just like, whoa, it's just like alternate stuff and my retail is different from Classic too. So I'll just keep playing retail. It's like, okay. Like, for example, when someone said, like, it was Holly was like talking about the different runes with Season of Discovery, and they're like, do you want to be a warlock that can tank? And I said, no, I don't. I'll just keep playing my warrior. My warrior can tank, and I like to DPS on him. He's a lot of fun. And then they probably said something along the lines of, do you want to be a mage that can heal? And I was like, I don't heal normally anyways, so why would I do that? And mages are weird. I don't want to play that, especially in Classic when they have like 7-second cast times. That's just right. Silly. So I didn't have any interest in that whatsoever. But when they're like, hey, do you want to put some extra little bits in here? Some little hidden nuggets about things that might be coming up in the future that we're going to talk about? Just sprinkle them in there wherever we can. Yes, please. That sounds amazing.
Right? Like, I've been wishing I had time for Season of Discovery just based on how much fun people seem to be having with it in the community, and I'm super happy for them. It's fantastic. But I was able to kind of be like, you know, I just don't have the time. It just is what it is. I'm going to be happy for them, and it's great. And now that I'm like, okay. now the FOMO's starting to hit. Now I'm kind of wishing I had time to get into Season of Discovery because there, not only do you have some fun gameplay in there from what I've read and heard from other people, but now you get little found photographs. I'm like, oh, I wanna learn things. Find a photo. Right.
We made it got to ask the good question. Why can't I be one that finds the photo? That sounds pretty cool.
I'm picturing like old school, like Polaroid, you know, you have to like shake it.
Mm-hmm. Shake it like a Polaroid picture. Yeah. I know how that song goes. I know the lyrics. And, you know, I know Polaroid was mad at that. It's like shaking doesn't help. Shut up, Polaroid. You know what you're talking about.
It does. Everyone help. Shook it.
It helps. It helps.
Yeah. Totally helps. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel pretty good about it.
I mean, I'm pretty positive on it. Like, yeah. I don't like, can you think of any like downside? We're going to like play the debate here. You want to play devil's advocate and be like, it's bad because of why? I can't think of a reason why it's bad.
No, especially handling it in this way. Like, it's not, you know, based on what we're hearing, it's not going to be, you know, meaty lore things, right? It's going to be these found photographs, these small things that just kind of fleshes out the character more and helps you maybe learn a little bit more about them, understand them more, their past, or, you know, maybe like hint at like, oh, maybe they're up to something. Who knows? Like, oh, what could it be? What's going on? Or what did they do in the past? Or that kind of thing. Like, and it's just, it's a fun way to explore it. And it gives Blizzard a little more chance to flesh out some of these characters in a way they wouldn't have without Season Discovery. So since they're not going to do, like, at least as of now, the plan is not for them to, expose brand new lore things and dive in deep and stuff. I think this is a healthy way to have some fun with the lore.
Yeah, because if they had done what you had just mentioned of like, oh, we're going in a whole different direction, or we're going to dive into new lore. Oh, did you know that, you know, freaking Katrina Prestor and Varian Wrynn actually hooked up one night? Oh, yeah. Did you know that? And I was like, well, I guess that didn't change anything, but that's still really weird. Why would you put that in the game? Like, that's weird. That's kind of creepy. it's like
maybe they may just be more in the form of a steamy romance novel.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So steamy romance novel. I can see that. Right. I mean, we already have propaganda that, you know, supposedly Anduin and Sylvanas are hooking up. So I can see that. Yeah. But yeah, as long as they keep it to this idea of, oh, there was other things happening in the same time period, we just didn't know about it. Well, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Well, one of these found photographs has me excited for very obvious reasons. It involves my dear friend, Xalatath.
Your dear friend?
At least that's my dear friend, yes.
You go way back?
I mean, kind of. I mean, Legion. Yeah. That's kind of far back.
That was a long time ago, wasn't it? Yeah.
It feels like it. It feels like that was like decades ago.
Yeah, when's the last time you were delicious?
Well, anytime I transmogged like into Xalatath, so. Right? Like,
well, that long ago.
pretty commonly, as long as I'm, you know, have a weapon that lets me do that. But yes. So now it's not this found photograph, this Polaroid, if you will, is not specifically titled Xalatath on the white part underneath the Polaroid where you can write. All right. Like it's not Xalatath. It just, it's who people are pretty sure believe this is about. Now, of course, I haven't played it. So I found this out through an article on Wowhead written by Discordian Kitty that discusses this lore bit, this photograph. Now, apparently, there are some epic items in Season Discovery called Void Touch Armaments. And the quest line to get them involves a shadowy figure that looks like an elven visage of Xalatath. It straight up looks like Xalatath. Again, doesn't actually label her as such, but it's a pretty safe bet it's Xalatath.
That's actually an interesting thought, though. If this is supposed to be taking place at the time of Classic, wouldn't...
We're going to address it, don't worry.
Okay, all right. We're going to address it. I'm just like, wait, isn't she supposed to still be in the dagger?
She was in the dagger at that time. She's got happening? Skills, Jen. She's got skills with just a skill, Z.
With a Z?
Skills. Mm,
I don't know if I like that with a Z. That sounds too hip
that's,
for me.
That's how real it is. It's got Z.
Okay. All right. I'm feeling like just, old just man Smithers again, but okay. I'm going to go with
just,
it.
Just go with it. It's fine. Technically, I'm older than you, so whatever.
You keep up with the lingo, I guess. I'm just over here going, no.
I just pretend it's fine. So
Riz? What is, I don't understand the Riz. I don't get that.
That one I don't understand yet. Okay. So again, this Wildhead article discusses this and talks about the Void Touch armaments. And... don't know all the details of it, But basically, you learn from a dead Twilight cultist how to speak to the shadowy figure. It involves some item called the, in quotes, the box. And the flavor text of this box says, touching the box with your bare hands immediately fills you with a sense of deep disquiet, but also a sense of creative inspiration like you've never felt before.
Creative inspiration like you never, okay.
Yeah, all right, that's interesting.
That's kind of, it's totally void move there, right? Like that disquiet, a sense of like something's kind of weird and off and whatever, but like, oh, maybe there's some good stuff to it. Like,
yeah.
That so, creative inspiration can like be a little enticing, right?
Yeah. And a whole bunch of people were making those the void touch armaments, so obviously it wasn't that bad, so whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're still doing that though, now that they moved on to phase two, but who knows?
Yeah, I there's still runes and stuff. I don't know if there's still void touch armaments, because if I remember right, the Zalatath stuff is from the shadowy figure stuff is from season one, I believe.
Sorry, phase one.
Phase one.
Yeah.
Not season. Phase. They're phases. yes. So this dead Twilight cultist basically implores the players to destroy the box because it came with a weight he wasn't expecting, much like shadowy whispers tend to do. Also something about not letting someone else find it.
Who was going to find
interesting.
It?
I don't know, but he apparently or someone else, he didn't want them to find the box. I don't know. Nothing mentioned it in the article, didn't dive into that more, but that made me wondering, who was gonna, who are you worried about there, buddy? I don't know. But you destroy it with a powerful source of light, as you do with void things, and a, quote, shard of the void is left behind, and it seems to draw in and consume the light, as the void does. And when you do this, a shadowy elven figure, again, probably Zalatath, looks just like her, but in shadowy form.
And classic models.
Yeah, that's true. but she appears in order to show you how to use this Shard of the Void. But you also get to talk to this quote-unquote shadowy figure.
All right.
And we're going to read this and share it with everyone.
Okay.
Jen's going to do the voice of the shadowy figure.
All right, I'm the shadowy figure. Okay.
Zalatath.
All right, so we're just going, top, left, right, just like the standard? Okay, I got to hear what's happening. All right, so shadowy figure first starts when you clicky-click. They say,
don't worry about who I am. Consider instead what I can do for you.
I'm quite sure I don't want anything from whatever it is you are.
Don't you? I wouldn't be so sure. That bauble you have there, the little black crystal... It's something special, something that shouldn't be wasted sitting at the bottom of your pack along with bloody rags and crumbs of stale bread. I can tell you how to use it, how to harness it.
This should be destroyed, not used. People have died for this.
There you go, being entirely boring again. I'm starting to think that maybe this wasn't such a good idea. Fine, do as you will. Cast it into the fires of Blackrock or deep into the maelstrom. Make sure it's thoroughly lost. You see, though, these things don't tend to stay lost forever.
Your point?
My point is that you don't know who's going to find it. I can think of no more stalwart, heroic, just, and noble creature than yourself to bear it and take advantage of its gifts. I can show you a snap of the fingers, and I can show you how to use it to make something truly special. You need only say the word.
Fine, show me. Only to stop your prattling.
Time seems to momentarily slow, and you are treated to the not entirely pleasant sensation of a memory that is not your own being forcibly injected directly into your mind. Before you can even fully register what is happening, it's over. Excellent. I've just left my mark on you. I think that next time you sit down at the crafting bench, you'll find yourself to be quite inspired. Just remember, you only have the one shard. So use it wisely. Farewell, adventurer. Go. Destroy evil or whatever it is that you lot do.
That was pretty good. That was a good Dalatad voice there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm impressed.
I mean, it is Dalatad. Dalatad is pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah. Just from reading that, it definitely has Dalatad vibes, I feel.
Yeah, especially with the go destroy evil or whatever it is that you lot do.
That was a great little
right? So good. Now, to address your concerns earlier, yes, while Xalatath would have been trapped in the Blade still back then, she has actually been known to use an avatar while still trapped in the Blade. We see it through like some of the priest quest lines and whatnots, right? Another point to consider is that we see her when Eridacron is slipping through the void portal during the Dawn of the Infinite Mega Dungeon. And at that point, we're in the past. So that kind of provides some proof that maybe she has an ability to travel through some timelines. Maybe.
It certainly possibly does. And that is an excellent point.
That is something that I'm not sure I considered.
Because I didn't either until I read this, not going to lie. Well,
the main reason I didn't really consider it is because the void, for whatever reason, feels like the only place where maybe time doesn't exist. And my little rant about like your stupid little thing, time doesn't exist, right? I don't understand the void. It almost makes sense because it's like it's nothing. So it's like, oh, okay.
Well, I guess if the void can, I mean, the void creatures and beings have already talked to us in the past and how they see all these different possibilities and outcomes, right? So maybe there is something to this. Like maybe they can do some like traveling or appearing in different timelines.
Has already been well documented as being able to do it. It's probably why I just overlooked it. Right? I mean, the entire course of the three trilogy War of the Ancients, Nazdormu was basically trapped by an old god. Like old gods were messing with him in the timelines, and he's like, "Well, I'm SOL." So the void can mess with timelines pretty effectively. So I just kind of was like, oh, okay, this old god's void time. They just kind of mess with it. Oh, they screw with the timelines. And I don't know. I just kind of chalked it up as it's the void doing the void things. So
yeah, that's what they do. It's fine.
Yeah, they just kind of ignore rules. They're just like, oh, thousand truths. We just do whatever we want.
Yeah, that's about right. And apparently what she wants is to go have some fun with people in the past.
And it's like, another question. Is she having fun with people in the past, or did this just happen in the past and we just didn't know about it?
That's actually a really good question. And I mean, that also brings up the question of if this is Xalatath, pretty sure it is, what is she up to? What's she doing?
Apparently spreading her influence with the void touch armaments and being like, oh, here, use this thing for the void. Hey, I'm going to totally mess with your head and you're just going to be on our side now. You know, getting more cultists, probably. That's what it feels like.
That's true. Now, again, I have not played this. Jin has not played this. This was not mentioned in this article. I did watch a video from Noble who mentioned that there's some speculation that she's collecting old god essences. Like, he mentioned, like, her collecting C'Thun's essence. I don't know if that was part of the season discovery stuff that I just didn't get a chance to like read or research and find in my working on show notes, or if that's just Noble truly speculating. But just to say, for the sake of conversation here, if she's out here collecting all god essences, and maybe that's why she's traveling to the past and whatnot.
Sure.
To what end? Why do we think Xalatath would need some all god essences?
Why would she need all god essence?
Pure speculation.
Well, I mean, obviously she's got some plans, and all god essences are you could easily, you know, chalk it up as like, oh, they contain much power and blah blah blah, whatever, you know, just throw it in there. They're very powerful entities. It took a whole crap ton of, you know, effort from our part to stop them. They're not easy to get rid of. So. And the old god essence is basically what the Shah is. So clearly there's some power to be had from old god bits.
Yeah.
And if she's over there basically stocking up for, you know, the Midnight expansion, when the void is going to try and take over and destroy the Sunwell and turn it into probably some void corrupted version of it. Yeah. Maybe she needs some old god essences.
Makes like sense throw to me. Them into the Sunwell like a stew.
Well, I mean, like that's what happened. Old
god in there or something.
That's what happened with it last time it got corrupted.
Right.
Threw Kel'Thuzad in there and he was like, ah, sorry, I shit in your pool. Sorry about that. You know, they say you avoid your bowels when you die. So you do it too
there,
when you come
there
back.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
Apparently.
You're going to want to like hit that with a like pool strainer or something. It's
get the net.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're probably gonna have to drain that and just refill it. It's
biohazard at this point. Well, it's fine. It's fine.
And Arthas is like, yeah, I don't care. I killed you all. I have to get up here, so I don't give a shit.
So what other shenanigans then could she possibly do in other parts of the timeline? Let's explore that a little bit.
What other shenanigans? Well, I mean, if this is just found photographs, right? Just kind of keeping that in mind.
True.
Most likely they will have a shadowy figure or something like that just being seen as making plans for the future the whole time, like collecting god essences, you know, building up an army, supplying void touch armaments to these would-be heroes that are like, haha, you're going to be on my side now because I've corrupted you with all of this void crap, right? Probably wasn't a good idea for a bunch of, plate wearers to wear a bunch of Sarenite armor that was made out of old god.
Right.
Probably didn't help with our mental health, so.
Just a wee bit. Yeah. It's fine.
Probably shouldn't be wearing Sarenite is all I'm saying. It's not a good idea. So same goes with this void touched armaments. I mean, probably best in slot, so I can see why you wouldn't wear it, of course.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Like, if she was going to do any more void touch shenanigans in phase two or, you know, three, you know, I don't actually know how many phases there are.
There's going to be five. We'll talk about that, too.
Okay, so if there is a fifth phase and Xalatath still shows up and she's like, hey, guys, you're I put a spell on you and now you're mine, right? Like Hocus Pocus. Who knows what's going to happen? I think that would be pretty cool if it's like, oh, yeah, all these heroes that were doing all this cool stuff during Season of Discovery, they never carried on to Burning Crusade. They joined the Twilight Cultists. These guys aren't heroes.
That's her ultimate plan. That's what it is, to expose us as the not being the champions.
I mean, it would be kind of funny if she managed to pull it off to a at least smaller degree than Arthas attempted to do, right? Because that's what Arthas' plan was to, oh, you're the best champions of them all. I'm going to turn you. Haha, you're on my side now.
Yep.
You're my new champions. Yep. You can be the Riders of the Apocalypse and all that fun stuff because it's going to be apocalypse time up here. And then Daddy had to ruin the time. Dad had to come in and ruin it. That's a shame, man.
It happens, you know?
Yeah, sometimes they're just like, damn it, kid, I told you to clean up your room and blah, you know, there you go. That's what happened. Yeah, I mean, that's my only speculation. I don't know what else she could be. I mean, do you have any other ideas of what she could be up to?
I don't know. I'm kind of wondering. So, I mean, this is obviously just in Season Discovery. You know, who's to say that she's not doing things outside of the classic era? So maybe she makes her way over to Andaria, where a certain heart was. You know, maybe she goes and checks out Yogg or, you know, one of the other, or Nazoth, or... You know, like maybe she is collecting all god essences to do things or something.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense because it was Queen Ashara, where the entire explanation of why she had the Tide Stone was you idiots left it in the freaking, you know, temple of a lunar, wherever it was, you know, Tomb of Sargeras is where we left it.
Yes, yes.
And she's just like, oh, I'll take this. Thank you. So, yeah, maybe Xalatath's just following behind our wake of ridiculousness going, don't mind if I do. I appreciate that. Pick this little bit
could
up.
Could be, yeah.
All right, so it would kind of make sense. I mean, there's a lot of lore with Xalatath just like showing up, helping people, and then going, I'm bored with you, and just abandoning them and just going off and doing her own thing. So,
yep.
She kind of just like, yeah, I just kind of do my wily ways. I'm chaotic evil. That's fun. So
she definitely has a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if I remember correctly, I mean, it was pretty much Grim Batol looks the way it does because of Xalatath. That was,
I believe so.
She was a big part of it.
Yeah.
There was even a quote from Xalatath saying like, oh yeah, when me and Modgood were hanging out,
I remember the Dark Iron fondly. Modgood was so easy to influence. Such was her hate. Imagine her fury when I abandoned her to the Wildhammer at the worst time. I can be very easy to lose. Remember that.
Right? Yep. Modgood was the bring in Dark Iron, you know, she was the wife of the Therian or whatever his name was that
Tharson.
summoned Ragnaros, you know, yeah. That guy. Right. And she went after the Wildhammer in Grim Batol, and she turned it into a terrible place. So Zalatath has been doing all sorts of things for a long time. So it would this whole found photo stuff with Zalatath, that totally makes sense that she was doing all sorts of crazy crap. So yeah, I like it.
And I like it a lot, and it makes me want more found photographs of more characters that we know. Again, just to, you know, it's not necessarily a big, like, oh no, it's a retcon. Retcons are always evil, oh my gosh. But like more of a just, you know, to have some fun and explore these characters that we may be missing information from. So it's pretty great.
Yeah, that is pretty great.
So another found photograph, another little bit of lore that was discovered involves Night Elves.
Night Elves.
This is phase two. This is a recent thing. There's an NPC named Ilari Duskfeather that has some players intrigued. Players see her at the end of a quest chain for some runes they get during, you know, the current phase two season discovery stuff. And an article on Game Rant explains that players discover murdered agents of the Alliance and have to follow a breadcrumb trail until they discover Ilari, who was the mastermind behind the killings. A Night Elf. Okay. Killing agents of the Alliance. Turns out, Ilari is very unhappy about the Night Elves being a part of the Alliance. And both player factions, so both Horde and Alliance, have to actually work to stop her.
Hmm.
Yeah. Like, so we know that Night Elves joined the Alliance in World of Warcraft. But back in Warcraft 3, they were more neutral. Jin had to remind me because my brain was squishy when I was writing these notes. I was like, were they neutral? But yeah, they were. But apparently, not all Night Elves were happy about them joining the Alliance after the events of Warcraft 3.
So I can
who
see
knows
that.
How many? Yeah, like who knows how many other Night Elves that might not be happy with it? Like, what do you think about this?
I mean, it does make sense because there actually was a point where the development team, and don't completely quote me on this, but if I remember correctly, it was they were debating if Night Elves were going to be members of Horde, right? Because they didn't really necessarily know exactly how the Night Elves were going to slot in, and they eventually landed on the Alliance because they just felt like it made the most sense. Like, it makes the most sense that the Night Elves probably would have joined the Alliance in the long run. And a lot of that probably came down to Jaina and, you know, the events of Mount Hyjal, because...
Right.
Because you have to remember that it was the Horde that showed up in Kalimdor initially. And that's probably why they were thinking, okay, maybe the Night Elves are joining up with them. But the main reason why they were like, no, is because, well, the Horde was chopping down a whole bunch of forests in Ashervale, and they didn't like that.
Yeah, right.
They didn't like that one bit. And then also Grom Hellscream, you know, he doesn't really speak for the Horde completely. He also did this whole thing called Killing Cenarius.
Yeah, just that whole thing.
That's not a good look. So... they're like, you know, we're going to join with these guys that didn't kill Cenarius.
Right.
But I can see why not everyone would be super happy with it, because not everyone was as cool as Jaina. Right. We also had, I don't friggin' know, he's not Gavin Rath. He was a cool dude. But, you know, Jackass Schmuckatelli that was basically causing Kil'thas. He was the Alliance asshole that, you know, basically told all the Blood Elves that it's like, oh, yeah, you're going to help us, but I'm just going to send you up there in cannon fodder. And you have to do this impossible task. And Kil'thas successfully did it, but he did it with the help of the Naga. And it's like, oh, well, thanks for doing the job we asked you to do, but now we're going to kill you all because you worked with monsters. So, you know, he was just being a xenophobic racist piece of crap. So you can see why maybe the Night Elves weren't too keen to joining the Alliance, because, well, Alliance didn't always do the great thing back in the day. We were kind of assholes, right? The whole Divias Brotherhood. Oops, that was us too. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently pay your union labor workers. That's the moral of that story. If someone does a job for you, you pay them. Yep. Moral of the story. Don't be an asshole and create an entire terrorist organization that's going to try and dismantle the government of the human nations. Because, you know, they didn't pay them.
Right. It all could have been avoided. Story would have been so different.
Yeah, it would definitely would have been a lot of differences because Anduin would have a mom.
Yep. And that alone right there changes a lot of things. So.
Yeah, it would change a lot of things. It really would. Varian never would have got captured because it was a defiant brotherhood that did it. Yep.
And we have to explore this.
He would have been a very different little boy.
Right. Well, any other thoughts about the whole Night Elves? Some of them not wanting to be part of the Alliance thing?
No, I mean, it totally makes sense. I mean, I was just having a conversation with Lex the other day in the Discord about how the Wolfheart novel, Night Elf was a total bad guy. So Night Elves, they have a long history of being bad guys.
It's true.
Yeah, the Wolfheart and Maiev, I don't know what they did with that. That's so confusing. I don't know why they just totally made her be super evil in that novel.
I wonder if Maiev and Alara are friends.
Nah, I don't know. They probably are.
I can see it.
Yeah. They would have been recent friends if they became friends, now that I'm thinking about it.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, because one's Blood Elf, the other's a Night Elf, and Maiev's way older, so... Maiev goes all the way back to the War of the Ancients. Yep.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, she's old. She's real old. Yep.
She is. Well, last but not least, again, this is like the smallest little thing ever, but honorary mention to Borten Shade Totem, who is a Torn Rogue added to Dragonflight when the Torn Rogue race class combo became available. Well, Mr. Shade Totem was actually added to Thunderbluff in Season Discovery Phase 1, literally saying that he is from the future and gives shamans one of their quests.
That's awesome.
Because back in Classic, there was no Torn Rogues. Torns can't be sneaky.
No, there was an entire comic series, like a web comic of the Torn Rogue. Yeah,
right.
I remember that.
Yeah, so I just love that little, like, just don't worry. I'm from the future.
It's kids, here, Marty. Go, it's kids.
Go, right? Yeah. But yeah, that's it. It's like, as we can see, none of these found photographs are huge, important lore bombs. You know, and as Chris Metzen says, it really is meant to be just something that fleshes out information about these characters. Now, so far, there's only two phases of Student Discovery that's out. Phase 3 is coming out in the spring, which takes players to level 50 and has a new raid. Phase 4... in the summer with level 60 and endgame activities. And then phase 5 will come out late autumn with more endgame content updates.
All right.
And okay. I'm imagining that we're going to maybe get some more of these lore bite size things, these found photographs throughout these phases kind of sprinkled in, as you said, at least I'm hoping so. Like, what do we think we might see?
Well, there's one other that, I think I remember reading about that. I would need to double check, but you can remind me if this sounds familiar. But I believe there was a big old, like no one's ever seen it before, a big old like glowing chunk rock that I found somewhere. I don't remember exactly what it was, but a lot of people were thinking it would had to do with the big glowing crystal in Hollowfall, right?
Oh,
because we had the big glowing crystal, and then this glowing crystal was like found somewhere, and again, I just happen to remember seeing screenshots of this, and a lot of people were thinking like, oh, maybe this is how the big glowing crystal originally got to Azeroth, is like it like was like a Naru chunk or something like that that hit Azeroth and it just buried its way into the ground.
Maybe. I can see that. That'd be cool.
Yeah. And I because at least that's the reason why I remember this is because it seemed like everything that they were doing with Season of Discovery is trying to drop little hints for things that are coming in the War Within. Right, because obviously we know Xalatath is going to play a huge role. It certainly seems like with Xalatath and knowing that the Void and the Light War is coming up, there is going to be some kind of a storyline to do with whatever the big crystal is in Hollowfall or whatever. You know, and the fact that it goes from Light to Void, and yeah, we have to help with the Arathi and all that kind of stuff when we get there. So I'm certainly curious to know if they're going to add any more information with that, but. So far, this Xalatath stuff's just been awesome, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And I'm trying to think of, like, what else could happen. Now, when it says new raid, we can't assume that it's going to be a raid that, as we know it. Because, for example, right now, people are running Nomergon as a raid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're doing
which is awesome.
Black Fathom Depths or something.
Black Fathom Deeps was a raid, yeah. So, like, who knows what this new raid could be, right? But... if we look at like some of the content from Classic back in the day, like we've got Molten Core, right? We've got, OG Naxxramas, you know, maybe we get a found photograph involving like Kel'Thuzad or something.
Honestly, one found photograph that I'm thinking, like, if I'm going with the assumption that everything that they're trying to do is to drop possible hints with information that's coming with, you know, the War Within, because that, to me, that just seems like what's on their the forefront. They want to get that information out there. They want to drop the hints. They want to, you know, build up that that excitement for what's to come is the assumption that I'm working with. So they're probably going to want to add in some more information about possibly the Earthen. Unlikely, like there's plenty of Earthen stuff that they don't need to do anything else. But the one that I was kind of thinking about that they could absolutely do and give more of, you know, maybe just a build speculation and, you know, figure out where possible the story could go from there was add more information about, you know, that there are other Nerubians out there. Right, because at this point we knew about their Nerubians because they were part of Warcraft 3, so it was a thing.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, we never knew about Xalatath back during Classic, so Xalatath showing up here, they could probably add in some type of Nerubian little bit here or there.
That'd be cool.
So that would be interesting if they use that to build on that to, you know, have maybe they find one of the living Nerubians or something like that at some point. You know, maybe they'll tie it in Silithus or something like that once they get to that point in Season of Discovery. Who knows where, you know, you could come across them or find them. It just seems like that's where I would want to take it, is to try and use this as a, at least this season, is to build excitement for what's coming next. Right. So obviously cool. You're going to throw some Xalatath in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think being as, you know, a person who tends to look at things like dungeons and whatnot. I don't know why. Something about dungeon fables or something.
I don't know.
Like, I'm thinking about like the dungeons that were in Classic and what found photographs could be like. You know, we're looking at the original Olduman.
Right. Like,
they could have some fun with a found photograph involving Olduman for sure.
Oh yeah.
Some of the Ironia maybe, or
mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be even Tyr.
Yeah, you could totally add some Tyr stuff in there.
Yeah, which now, would be really cool.
Knowing Tyr is back.
Yeah.
You could even add a book or a note or just a little something where maybe it was the last, you know, note that he had given to Arcadius and Ironia before, you know, because you go beat him up. Maybe you looted off Arcadius's body.
Yeah.
So that would be super interesting if they added something like that in there. That totally makes sense. And then if there's any other dungeons or something like that may tie in, I mean, I could possibly see even, what's the name of that place? Like Myrdon or something like that, you know?
With Myrdon.
Myrdon with the...
That'd be cool.
Only because it's like, you know, the Princess Thrasp or whatever her name is, you know.
I call her the Pretty Pretty Princess.
Yes, the Pretty Pretty Princess. It would make sense that there could be a possible tie-in with their, like I say, with the whole the War Within, Earthen, you know, maybe even just like Xalatath is getting up into something down in there as you're getting down into the depths, right? But I don't know, just me making guesses, because I can't think how a Skolomance would tie in necessarily, because that was more the thing, more the top end for Classic.
Yeah, maybe Strathholm, but I don't know about Skolomance.
Yeah, I don't know what they would add in there. I mean, maybe. You could just throw Xalatath does kind of fit in that vibe anyways. Just be like, yeah. I was just hanging out. Just a bunch of necromancers and me, a void entity. So
they could also potentially explore something with Blackrock. I mean, Blackrock is a whole thing, right? Like, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you could go definitely a couple different directions, and I don't know, maybe you could tie into the, you know, bring it up like we talked about with Modgud and Ragnaros, because Ragnaros, yeah. You could do something like that. Maybe you could throw some information about how Xalatath totally betrayed the Dark Irons, and that's why they're up in this mess.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of the stuff like may not necessarily have to even involve Xalatath, like, you know, especially when we get to like, I don't know, like Temple of a Tall Akkar. Like, what if we get something like Green Dragonflight related?
Yeah,
maybe.
I can see a little bit of that. Yeah, I'm just going based off the fact that it, at least so far, it seems that they're trying to be like World Soul Saga stuff.
Right.
Let's talk about it. And like that at least seems like that's where they want to put most of their energy At least that's where I would, like, if I was in charge of the narrative team, I'd be like,
right,
put stuff that relates to this cool stuff in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what else they do and what they explore and how they handle the found photographs. And it's fun to see what is going to be discovered in Season of Discovery.
Yeah, I can't wait to find out what else could be in there. Not that I'm going to play it. I got a freaking time, but I love the Discordian Kitty write-ups on it. That's for sure.
Yeah, like between like her and like said, like novel, and there's lots of articles and other content creators doing things for Season Discovery. So I'm definitely looking forward to reading and hearing about all of it. And if any listeners play Season Discovery and they want to share their experiences with it, you can join our Discord and talk about it.
Yeah,
because we would love to hear about it.
Trust me, you can spoil the crap out of it for me because I'm probably never going to do it for myself. So I'm happy to just watch the YouTube video or hear someone talk about it. Yeah. But I don't know. I can't think of anything else to get into. I mean, do you?
No, that's about it, really. A little bit shorter this week, but I thought it'd be fun to kind of take some time to, you know, explore all that because there's some cool stuff going on over there.
Yeah, there is. And not just the weird runes that make your class totally different. There's other things too that, in my opinion, are way cooler. Be a rogue tank.
Yeah, I'd probably play for that. Like, I always got excited because I did the whole like evasion tanking stuff occasionally on my rogue. I mained my rogue in Burning Crusade, but like to be like a legit rogue tank, that'd be pretty cool.
I mean, do Fury Warriors get Titan's Fury at level 25? Because your Titan's Grip, that'd be cool.
I don't know.
I don't know what they get. I haven't looked it up. I haven't looked anything. And honestly, I probably wouldn't play a warrior in Classic because leveling in Classic as a warrior is just
I tried the it for worst. A while. It was pretty grueling.
it's terrible. I hate it. That's why I haven't rolled anything else.
Now, before we end the episode, we want to take a quick moment to talk about our upcoming episode 100. Because we're on 98 now. It's crazy. 100 kind of snuck up on us, not going to lie.
We're
super excited. Yeah. Like a while ago, we're like, what should we do for it? And then all of a sudden we're here. So, hey, guess what? We're super excited about it. We want to involve you, our lovely listeners. We'll be asking you to share what your favorite moments of the show have been or your favorite episodes or something you learned, you know, things like that. If you aren't in our Discord, you can head over to discord.livelaughlore.com and we'll have a channel where you can share these things. We'll also make a post on Twitter and Blue Sky where you can also share. And to celebrate episode 100, one person who participates will be chosen completely at random to win an epic edition of the War Within expansion.
I actually still need that.
Comes with, you get early access, you get extra traders, trend tenders, and things.
And like 3 days extra before all you basic people will get to play the actual expansion. So
basic people. It's mean.
Hey, apparently it's pay to win over here, baby. You can pay to win.
Let's not get into that. It's not pay to win. It's that's a whole other discussion.
Paid 3 days
Shush.
Early. Woo.
Shush. Anyways.
Hey, I didn't make the decision. Blizzard did.
Anyways, we would love for you to participate, be a part of helping us celebrate episode 100 and all of the shenanigans therein.
All right. Well, you ready to start wrapping it up? Because I think I am.
Yeah, I think we should. I think you got a job.
I do have a job because that's right. It is the part of the show where we say a quick thank you to all the patrons that support us and keep the show going. If you'd like to join their ranks and support this show and all of our crazy speculations and shenanigans, you can do so by going over to patreon.com/livelaughlore. Just like Scissorlord did. Hey, Scissorlord.
Scissorlord?
Yeah.
What's up?
How you doing? Yeah, he's a new patron. Thanks, buddy. And guess what? This is the part of the show where we like to say a huge thank you to our top patrons. And look, it's Scissorlord again. He's right there. Look, did you see that? He's on the list again.
I do see that.
So thank you again. A second time, Scissorlord. I appreciate that. And speaking of which, there's also Monkey Valhalla, the Viking monkey himself, and there's Shalil, and Nicol Aubrey, and Craig Lemus, and Ickes, and Nadun, Night Warrior. And then there's Mud as well, and Aphrodon, and Dungeon Master Burke, Greybeard, and Jacorus to round out the pack. Thanks, everybody. You guys are the best. You keep this shenanigans going because apparently you like these shenanigans. Yay. That makes me happy.
stories. There's nothing in the world more powerful than a good story.
We like to end every episode on some type of positive note or story or something like that. I especially like when we get a chance to share stories of people raising money for good causes. So there's a content creator named Stone, or Stone Grasp, or Jerkface, as I like to call him when he purposely mispronounces players on my hockey team. Every March since 2016, he has been streaming to raise money for ALS Canada. And he has a lot of fun with it too. He streams his wrestling eFed, his Warcraft, marbles, other, you know, variety games. And every person that donates gets to pick some kind of different reward. Depending on like what level you donate at, it could be something as simple as like picking a crazy jelly bean flavor he eats, or having him take a shot of Captain Morgan's private stock like I made him do this past weekend, or different hot sauce challenges, or a song to play, or I think one was having put on a wig for 20 minutes or something. Like, just crazy, silly things, and he has a lot of fun with it, and the community likes it. And it also usually leads to him doing a charity walk with ALS Canada as well. And he works just so freaking hard to put his time and lots of energy into this. And as someone who has ALS himself, it's slow progression. So he wants to be able to do something to help out this amazing cause. And obviously something he's very passionate about. And like I said, every March, he streams just about every single day. And he's been doing this since 2016. And since 2016, not including this year, because we're currently in March, he's been going for 5 days now, he has raised $21,400 Canadian, which is a little over $15,700 American. That's, I mean, it's, I'm not going to sit here and say he has the biggest, you know, community ever, but I mean, it's a decent size one, but that's a lot of money to raise.
That's impressive.
From one community. It's fantastic. It's so much fun, and it's great. And if you can go check it out, like I said, he streams every day, just about every day. Like, every once in a while, he is not feeling well because he's been working too hard. Like, he might take a little time off, but like, he tries to do at least an hour every day. He's working really hard, but you can check him out at twitch.tv/stonegrasp. Like, you know, you got a stone, you grasp it, right? Stone grasp. All one word. You can also find him on Twitter and Blue Sky as Stone Grasp. And he announces there every time he goes live in March. And every single cent and every like Twitch, you know, cheer and bits and whatnot, all of it goes to ALS Canada. So stop by the streams. They're really fun. The community is fantastic. Or if you want to just, you know, throw a couple bucks his way, that's awesome. Tell us about it too. Or just go chill and watch the shenanigans. He's a dear friend. He's a great guy. And he's really working hard for ALS Canada, and it's just nice to see communities come together for good causes like this.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've actually caught some of his streams at some points. They're certainly entertaining. So definitely check those out if you get the time.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that it will just about do it. If you agree.
Yeah. I think we should just get out of here.
Yeah. Nice and quick and concise today. Look at that.
Occasionally that happens with us.
It does. It does happen.
Not often concise.
No, not often. It's just a lot of rambling usually.
But it's fun.
Thank you so much for listening to Live, Laugh, Lore. If you have a topic or a question you'd like us to discuss, send us an email at livelaughlorecast@gmail.com. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/livelaughlore, and you can keep the show going for as little as a dollar an episode. You can watch Ali live on Twitch Sunday nights over at twitch.tv/aliandris, and you can watch Jin Monday nights at twitch.tv/jinsjoint. You can also follow the show on Twitter at live_laugh_lore. You can follow Jin on Twitter at Jin's Joint, and you can follow Ali at Ali_K. Meanwhile, be kind and take care.